Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Chet Haas from the UI Toolkit team, joined by...
Dan Sandler from the System UI team.
So does that mean you're a guest today?
I'm...
You're both sides of the table, actually.
That's
true. You're quickly going to run from this side to the other side, where we have...
Julia Reynolds from the Android System UI team.
Okay, so now I'm outnumbered. We do not have Tor. We are recording this in the Cambridge office of Google because we wanted to talk about System UI stuff. Specifically, we wanted to talk to Julia about notification stuff, and there was a mic that was on, so Dan joined us.
That's why I'm here. Yeah. I'm just the tech guy.
Okay. I thought you were just the guy in front of the mic. You're saying you're the AV guy behind
the mic. We have two mics. I'm behind that one. I'm in front of this one. You got to keep up.
All right. Notifications. There was a lot of new notification stuff in O, but why don't you give us sort of a broad overview of the stuff that you work on?
Okay. I guess overall in O, we want to make it more easy for users to get the notifications they want at the right time. So we added notification channels so users can, or apps can divide their notification set into different channels and users can customize each channel to their liking. You like the set from channel A, you make them high importance, they hun, you know right away.
Sorry, for those that are not, do not use our internal jargon. What does hun mean?
Heads up notification.
Oh, thank you.
You might know it as peeking.
I think that's what we call it in the UI, is peeking on screen.
Yes, okay.
It's all right, go ahead.
You're in an activity, you'll know right away from channel A. But the app also sends some notifications you don't like so much or you don't need right now. You can demote them into a nice min space and get to them at your leisure. We also added snoozing. This is a notification you usually like, but you're busy right now. You're going to have to deal with it later, so you can snooze it for up to 2 hours. It'll go away. You don't have to think about it. When you're ready, it comes back.
We didn't do like the 10-second thing or the alarm clock, like, snooze me for 5 minutes and just do that about 17 times in a row.
Until you could keep re-snoozing it.
Yeah.
Because it just reposts as a notification.
Right. Yeah. And we let app developers specify like a time to live on their notifications so they don't have to wake up and cancel the notification. We'll just do it for them.
Okay.
It's like, this is a time-sensitive notification. If the user doesn't see it now, it's not going to make any sense to them later.
That's on the developer to post the duration of that thing? Okay.
Which is nice, right? Because you don't want to turn on your phone to a whole bunch of notifications about meetings that you had 6 days ago.
Yeah.
So thermonuclear device set to detonate in 5 minutes, it would be pointless for the user to see that 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there are other reasons that you wouldn't see it.
Exactly, right? So why waste the battery on the phone
if
the user is not going to be, let's say, around to see the notification?
This got dark. This is suddenly my favorite notification.
This is what we might call the midlife crisis of the podcast. You know, we've been doing this for a while. We're searching for meaning in meaninglessness.
Oh, God.
So
no pressure.
We're going to be here a while today. It's a therapy session. Okay, so channels. My understanding as a user from outside your team is this was being driven not so much by developers as by what users want, which is you see an app, an example, a social media application, let's say, may post a notification telling me about something that I really don't care about. My knee-jerk reaction is disable notifications because I never want to see that stuff spamming my home screen again, right? My notification panel.
Right.
But there's other stuff that maybe I would have wanted to see that does, from the application angle, help me engage with the application, which is what they're after. But from the user's angle, I don't want all the other cruft that they're trying to send me, right? So it's a way to fine-tune that information.
But that benefits the app developer as well, because they can experiment with notifications without worrying that, you know, their main important notifications are going to be disabled or they'll be uninstalled, because the user gets to say, oh no, I don't like these, but please continue sending me all the rest of them.
And for those of us that haven't been following all of the reviews or haven't already gotten Oreo on our devices, how does the user like register that opinion? Like, how do you say, oh, I don't like that anymore?
You long press on the notification and you say, no more of these.
And it tells you, right? It tells you what these are. Like, it'll actually tell you what the app developer has said. Oh, these are my notifications about nearby ice cream shops. And you can say, I'm not so into ice cream.
So it was
always... I know, it's hypothetical.
It was on, I didn't know we were going on a non-dairy rant. Is that part of the, like, the midlife thing as well?
Yeah.
We're just experimenting with alternative diet lifestyles. So how many people know about the long press? Like, I know about that because, you know, word gets around internally. And so, you know, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, I want to get rid of this thing in long press. And then you disable all notifications. How many people know, A, that they could have always done this with notifications in general, or B, that this is also the mechanism to get in and selectively disable the channels?
Not enough people, which is why I'm talking to you today. But also we...
Now nine more people.
introduce
those
the
are, those are influencers,
slow,
though, those nine people.
The slow swipe gesture, which is how you get to snoozing and the inline options as well.
Okay, take me past
so
that.
So say you have a notification. You swipe fast, it goes away.
Yeah,
you swipe
see the
slowly,
settings thing
you see
there.
The little icons show up.
Okay. So basically, we're looking for gestures of frustration. We're keying off those. Like, either you're mashing the thing to make it go away, or you're just trying to get rid of it, and then you see the little thing.
Right.
And that's one of the hardest things about designing notifications. Now, Julia is now the... You're the tech lead of notifications. You've taken that mantle over. You don't let me touch that code anymore, which is wise. But one of the hardest things about building this UI is that the feedback from the user is so ambiguous, right? And I think we talked about this last time I was on your therapy couch.
It all blends together.
It does. That, you know, a user could swipe something away because, wow, this is really not useful. Or they could say, wow, that was exactly what I needed. Thank you. I'm glad to know that I, you know, need to leave now to get to that important podcast recording.
Yes.
Again, hypothetical.
Okay. Okay. What, that was where you were heading to?
That was where I was heading. Yeah, it was a philosophical point that designing notifications, because the user responds to something that is really timely and useful and something that is totally irrelevant, are very nearly identical. And so that's one of the reasons that we introduced things like snoozing, where we could, A, give you kind of the tool that you wanted to solve the problem, which was, this is good, but not right now. And B, just to give you more vocabulary as a user.
Okay. So how do you then discern what the user either feedback is or reaction is to this stuff? So now we present the user with more choices. So if they long press, do they get all of the channels? I can't remember what the experience is. Or do they get taken to another setting screen where all of them are listed?
No, you're acting only on that one channel. There is a link to settings where you can see the full context.
Okay.
So as not to overwhelm you with all the different choices.
Okay, so that the big hammer is not presented anymore at the in the first interaction.
Right.
Well, assuming you've
implemented... Unless they have not opted into channels.
Yes.
Right. So is this a requirement, a target SDK requirement of O to enable channels?
It is. If you target API 26, you must use notification channels.
Okay. If there's only one that you have, you're still...
Right.
Okay.
But then it's all or nothing, and that's not the best thing for the user or for you.
Okay.
Unless there really is only one kind of thing that you post. Like, if you're
that's
egg timer and you
seen
have
it yet,
one notification that is your timer went off.
Right.
That seems legitimate.
That's pretty spammy. I don't want to know about that information. I'll take care of my own.
Remind me not to eat your eggs.
Yes. But you can also use notification channels on O, even if you don't target API 26.
So you can, like, gradually adopt it
in
your app.
Okay, how does that work? Is that a, like, support library thing? Is there a compat version of this thing?
Not quite.
Okay, all right.
It is partially supported in the support library. Sorry, chat. Not entirely supported.
We have something else called the partial support library. Okay, so how does that work then? How do you use this thing if it's requiring new API that does not exist pre-26?
You have to use Notification Manager.
Okay.
And notification channel in the SDK, and then you tag your notifications and notification compat with the channel to use.
Okay.
So you can use
but
the new
tuned.
SDK with all those classes. You can compile against them, but if you're not yet targeting API 26 in your manifest, Okay. You'll get the legacy behavior.
So that if there's some other behavior change that you're not ready to adopt by targeting 26, you can use this specific behavior change while you haven't actually moved over the target switch to 26 yet.
Yes, and which might seem like a weird kind of middle ground, except when you consider that large apps are developed by large groups of people, sometimes teams that are not really, you know, interacting with each other. Maybe some have, you know, figured out their notification channel organization system, and some are still living in the wild world of like every notification behaves totally randomly each time it's posted. So this way you can move sort of piecemeal without having right. to just force the entire organization to move over channels at once. Because if you don't, right, if you target API 26 and you try to post a notification without a channel, what happens?
No notification.
That's right. Right on the floor.
Nice. So you just assume the big hammer if they're not doing the right thing. That's user right. does not want to see all this information.
Well, you have not given the user the tools that we now require of you so yep. that you and the user can come to an agreement about where right. this notification belongs in their personal attention, you know, taxonomy.
I like the idea of development groups that aren't talking to each other, selectively doing their own channel stuff, so you can have notifications like, Bob didn't think that you should see this, but Jane said that it was a good idea. Here's the following information. You could put all of that in one of these new channel notifications. I like it.
I think a lot of big apps, you can already see those organizational seams. I'm not going to name names.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't think I need to.
Actually, speaking of apps, I have noticed like a surprising amount of adoption of this relatively new feature, especially since I would think that it is not controversial, but...
Well, it requires work.
Maybe
right? It's
a,
compulsory.
It requires work, but also it requires a little bit more self-reflection than I think apps necessarily want to do. Because by saying, okay, here are the different things that we're going to tell you about, you are automatically saying, I know that they're not going to want some of this information, but I want it anyway, right? I want the engagement that we get by telling them about this new kind of post, and yet... I don't want them to disable the app from telling them this thing that I know they want, right? So I expected a little bit more entrenchment on the overall policy saying, well, we kind of want everything all the time. But in fact, a lot of the common large apps that I'm using now are already opting in this thing, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased. I think it's good to step back and... you know, take stock of how you're interrupting your users. And once you divide your notifications into channels, you get more information about how the users feel about each of those notification types.
Right.
Say.
Well, and if you have a, you know, presumably all of your users aren't identical. Some of them may genuinely be interested in some things and some not. And so you kind of want to reach those users. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to withhold that feature and say, you know what, this is going to annoy some people, so we just won't launch it for the people that would really enjoy it. This gives you like an opportunity to do both. You can put it out there, and then the people that like it, keep it. You know, keep only the ones you want, cancel anytime, like TV ads used to say. Back in the days when books were on paper.
I remember them.
Right? Right? Taught you how to do all kinds of stuff. They're like instructables, but made out of dead trees.
They were for starting fires, I'm pretty sure. Here's the instruction manual and the kindling. So actually, I see a similar thing entering into some of the apps themselves. I noticed seeing a similar approach to like the web versions of some of these applications where they will tell me something that I truly do not ever want to see again. And then I'll notice a handy little edit thing over on the right. And I'm able to tell them, I really don't like this information. Mm-hmm. Whether they obey or not is up to them, because now I'm in the app's domain. It's not
right.
in control of the system.
Right. Yeah, with notification channels, we are taking over notification settings for individual apps. So apps didn't always have fine-grained notification controls. Mm-hmm. If they did, it wasn't obvious how to find them.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it's under the app's control, so hopefully they'd listen.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't for they had a bug or something. But now the user has one place to go to for any app to say how they feel about notifications.
Yeah, it's that common setting thing with like a lot of blue and gray switches on it.
Actually, right. Not that many.
There was one I went to the other day, it was like 20. Was
like you may be thinking of manual. The categories of an app. So, you know, when you're designing your channel layout, mm-hmm. You have to you know, you have to decide, well, what's the granularity that I want to tease these things apart? Is it, you know, important service interruptions and, you know, social messages and, you know, pictures of dogs? Or does that make sense to your user? Yeah. Or is it, you know, messages you get while you're at home, messages while you're at work? Or is it like every little specific, like, do you want to know about new taco places near you or new taco places far away from you or new taco places where it hasn't been located on Earth yet? You can go too far, right? You could create too many channels to the point where the user's like, I don't, you're exposing your complexity to me, which is no good. But also, you know, one size fits all is not going to help either, because incidentally, a channel dictates the behavior of a notification, and every notification on that channel has to behave the same way. So if that's a channel that makes noise, every notification posted on that channel will make noise. That's the only way we could figure out to make it comprehensible by the end user. So if you put everything into one bucket, you've got to be prepared that they're all going to be behave the same way.
On the other hand, if you split it out into way too many buckets, the user doesn't want to deal with it, the user is just going to pull the heavy switch up at the top.
Right, and we do still have that heavy switch. Right. That's really, really important that you can still say, you know what, your whole notification system is like irrelevant to the way that I use your app.
Yeah.
Because your app is a game that doesn't need to notify me that, like, hey, there have been new cards introduced in the deck of poker cards. Like, that's rare.
It's that wild card that somehow always sneaks in. You're like, I left it in the box. I know I left it in the box. Right.
So I want to hear a little more about Do Not Disturb, because I feel like that's the flip side of the notification story. Notifications are about, like, there are genuinely things that, I want this thing to get my attention. That's why we carry these things around. That's why we make them make pleasant noises. Because, hey, I would love to know if somebody in my, like, close group chat has sent me something. But Do Not Disturb is kind of the opposite of that, right? It's more about you than about the app.
Yes. And we don't have any big Do Not Disturb changes for O, but if we did have some in N, specifically, you can choose to block visual disturbances instead of just audible ones.
Visual disturbances is like, a bit of jargon that
I'm getting there.
Okay, all right.
Like those peaking notifications I mentioned earlier.
You did.
Or if your screen is off, having it turn on because a notification has come in.
Right.
Like if you put your phone in Do Not Disturb while you're sleeping, and sure, it'll be quiet, but if it lights up the whole room, it'll still disturbing.
Yes.
We also added APIs in N for apps to contextually put the device into Do Not Disturb. So apps can write rules like, while you're driving, put the phone in Do Not Disturb. While you are at a location like your kid's school, put the phone in Do Not Disturb.
That's excellent. That's and like you could sort of do that before by, like, you had Do Not Disturb access if you were a notification listener, right?
Yes.
We built that for things like wearables where you wanted to be able to change your DND state from, you know, say a watch or something like that. But that's a lot of power to give to an app that's just trying to give you a geofence around your quiet time.
Yes. Also, individual apps can express their individual rules, and we integrate those rules together. The controls in, say, the M timeframe was everyone could just sort of stomp on each other's preferences.
I feel like I saw that once or twice.
And your phone would be quiet when you didn't want it, and noisy when it shouldn't have been.
Non-deterministic, Do Not Disturb. It's the same letters, actually, non-deterministic. I think it's an anagram of Do Not Disturb, so it works.
Pretty sure it's not.
We'll check that offline, but I'll get back to you. Okay, so how does it work then? Is it a combination of user stuff? Like, I've seen the user side, basically you pop the volume all the way down, and then what, there's like a dialogue that takes you through to more information about what you don't want to be disturbed about?
That is a thing that we do.
Okay.
if the device is in Do Not Disturb, at the bottom of the volume dialogue, we tell you why it's in Do Not Disturb.
Because you hit the button, dummy.
Well, not always. It could be because of a rule you turned on, like, this is my nighttime rule.
Okay.
Which is a good place to put it, right? Because that's, you know, if you go to your phone, you say, hey, I feel like it's not making noise, and you hit the volume rocker, that's the perfect right. opportunity to say, okay, I see that you're hitting the volume button. Be aware that we've turned off your notifications because, and actually, it, an app that is plugging into that can push up its own reason.
Yes.
Right? So it'll say, oh, you put in Do Not Disturb by, you know, the Don't Bug Me When I'm at Work app.
Right. And you can see this information in the Quick Settings Do Not Disturb tile also.
Okay. And is there a developer surface of this as well? Like, it sounds like it. So
there is.
How do developers know what's going on or change those settings?
They can ask Notification Manager. Well, first they have to ask the user for D&D access. Then they...
Do not disturb. All right.
So the user...
yeah, no, the
an app can't just silence your phone without permission anymore. And they can tell the system, these are the available rules the user can choose from. The user can go into settings and say, oh yeah, this one seems useful to me. Let me turn it on.
Wait, these are app-specific rules? Or these are generic categories that apply to that app?
App-specific rules.
Okay.
An app can say, these are the contexts that we understand, and so we will turn on D&D while you're in these states. Like, we are an app that can tell when you're at your school. Okay. So we are an app that can put you into D&D while you are there.
These are inputs to the D&D system.
Yeah,
right?
No, I understand. I'm wondering, so if I have 3,000 applications installed, all of which have more settings for D&D, does that just make the single D&D dialogue get longer and longer? Or if I've set up D&D and then I install an app that has other options, like obviously I haven't opted into those yet.
So an app has to request D&D access.
Yep.
So there is a screen where you can see all of the apps that have requested D&D access and you can turn them on or off.
Yep.
So that could be a long list of apps. Then when you are going in to set up rules, you only see the rules from apps that you have.
For the apps that are installed. Okay, so that theoretically...
Approved, not installed.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, so that theoretically could be really long.
Yes.
Although, realistically, I guess not that many apps are going to need their own custom tweaks to this stuff.
Right.
Okay. All right, but there may be some rules that you're looking at in the overall D&D. I love D&D. That's good. I like that acronym. In the dungeon, shall we call it. That only apply to a specific app. Like, how do I know
No, it doesn't apply to a specific app.
So like the school situation. So,
right, so
we install the app called, you know, Hall Monitor, mm-hmm. and that happens to know when you're at school, but no other app on the system has that information. It's not a generic thing.
Right. So that app could tell the system when it thinks the user should be in D&D. And that D&D applies to all apps, all notifications.
But yeah, because you okay. can't, like,
silence.
If silence is happening, you can't, your notifications will be mute.
Yeah.
No.
But I just wonder how that information about them detecting school proximity is surfaced to the user in the setting.
Oh, okay. So in settings, in sound, there's a section called automatic rules.
Yeah.
And you go in and you add a new automatic rule.
Yeah.
And you see the list of types of rules that are available.
Okay, so then it's going to add another one of those rules. That's the one I was thinking of. And then how do I know the difference between generic things that the system knows about, like it is nighttime,
mm-hmm.
versus something that is app-specific? Are there different categories?
Well, the user doesn't really need to know.
Okay, so it's just a list
of things. It'll be in, your phone will be in D&D, and you'll be happy.
Okay.
But if you want to know why exactly, we tell you in the volume controls, you're in D&D because this app thinks that you're at your child's school.
Yeah, you don't have to create like your own, you know, little, you know, puzzle piece scratch program of like if this, then that.
Yeah.
Like that's
I would like that little flowchart.
Yes. Yeah, so as developers, we all have to resist the urge to build a phone for our darkest selves. No, this is just a list of like here are the kinds of rules you can have. Yeah. Time of day, hall monitor app.
Okay.
You know, is your heart rate too high to have a reasonable linear response to this notification? That kind of thing.
Okay. We could think of these as like a list of attributes that are strengthened by experience points, perhaps. It could become an entire gaming system. People could build up more abilities and more attributes.
Let the record reflect that I have my face in my hands.
All right. Do not disturb. But that one that I've actually been there since
N? Yes.
Or is that... Dropped. It wasn't there in some earlier incarnation? There used to be like a big hammer do not disturb, wasn't there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's funny how we iterate from like large hammers into small chisels mm-hmm. over time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since M?
Yes.
You said? Okay, so we made our first attempt there, which is just don't bug me.
Yes. I mean, we still say don't bug me, but yeah. We just... The rules for when you don't want to be bugged have changed since N.
I've gotten more fine-grained. Actually, we always had... We always had mute mode. Ever since I was here. You could always just turn everything off, and you would... mistakenly do it when I was trying to get into vibrate mode, I would go all the way down and then it wouldn't do anything. And then I guess M introduced first rules.
No.
M introduced...
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb, which is different than mute, apparently.
We tried to find a way that there was only one way to make the phone quiet. That actually turns out to be a lot more confusing, because if a user doesn't know or understand anything about the Do Not Disturb feature, we're forcing them to learn about it in order to just manage their volume at all. We had, and this was before you had taken over the D&D mantle, Julia, but we had, like, our first run at it was really complicated because we had this priority mode and all this configuration, and there's still quite a bit of configuration that I'd like to simplify further, but our first crack at this really was inscrutable, and we made the critical error of forcing users to understand it in order to just get through basic tasks. Like, it was there every time you touched the volume button, and that's no good.
Right.
If you don't know about a feature and you're happy not knowing about it, there's no reason to interrupt you with it.
Do not disturb me about do not disturb.
That's right.
Yep. Okay.
It's fractal. It's a Fibonacci spiral. It's beautiful.
Okay. Okay. So that was do not disturb. There was also snoozing, which is like don't disturb me for a little bit.
Right.
So is that part of the same system then? Or is this...
No, it's not. That is... snoozing is on a notification by notification basis.
Okay.
So like, say you're shopping and an email comes in and you have to deal with it, but you're not going to like stand in the aisle and type out a reply right now. You can snooze it, you know, tell me in an hour when I'm back home. But like, you're, you know, at the supermarket, you have time for quicker tasks. Like if you get a phone call, you could take that and talk on the phone. So it's not quite the same.
Okay. So, and how do we enable that? Is that another
slow swipe? Slow swipe, and you'll see a little clock icon.
Setting. Oh.
And you tap it, right. And then you can choose the duration of.
Okay. So if we do get the notification that the thermonuclear is going off in 5 minutes, could we snooze that? Could we save the world through snooze?
The world is still going to be destroyed, but your phone...
But we won't be bothered about it. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm after. Does the developer get any notification? Is there a communication channel for them to find out that this
there
is
being snoozed? There is not.
Okay.
They can continue updating the notification as mm-hmm. normal, and the user will get the latest information when the notification comes back.
Okay. So here's this doesn't relate to anything, and you're probably going to do an eye roll. One of the things that I've noticed with notifications in general is that they are handled by applications, let's say, inconsistently. Some applications are really good at noticing when I have read the information that they wanted me to know about. Some applications are not. So I get a notification that I got an update on something that I care about. I go into the application, I look at that thing, and the notification is still in the panel, right? Because they are not hooking up the content that they wanted me to point me at with the notification that told me about the content. So in some cases, even if I click on the notification that takes me there, the notification doesn't go away. My assumption is app developers aren't doing the right thing. My question is there more that we can do or have done to make that more automatic at the system level?
No. So apps can set the auto-cancel flag on their notifications if a tap on a notification should cancel it.
Okay, so there's something easy they could have done for the direct manipulation case.
Yes, okay. They could set the timeout for the notification to go away.
Okay.
After, we don't automatically cancel notifications just because the user has launched the app.
Yeah, I mean,
I certainly don't know if you've launched the app on another device or are looking at it on your computer. I mean, the business rules around that are so bewilderingly complex and different from every app based on what you think it is that you're trying to do. I mean, you said you wanted an eye roll, and I can oblige, but this is actually a legit hard question because you may say, oh, yeah, if you read a message on another device, we should cancel it on your other devices. But what happens if you don't have a good sense of whether the user has read a notification? What if the notification is just on the lock screen? You've read it, but you didn't dismiss it. What if it appears on your computer in some web UI? Does that count as having read it? How recently do you have to have touched the computer for that to count as you probably having seen the message to withdraw it from the phones, and so on and so on? So it's not a straightforward thing, and it's definitely not something that we can know what to do for everyone in the platform.
Right.
But the general form of the solution is figure out what your business rules, figure out what kind of policy your app is going to have, and then use GCM or Firebase Cloud Messaging, whatever it is that you're using to notify all your devices about new information, notify them about information that no longer needs to be presented. Like, hey, we're done with this.
Right.
A great example would be like a calendaring app, right? If you say, if say the meeting passes or you cancel the meeting, you should withdraw that notification from all of your, all of your devices. Or if there's like some explicit signal, like, yes, I've swiped this way, I don't care about it. Like, that's a pretty clear signal, and you can synchronize that with other. You push that up to your server, you push that back out through GCM, synchronize everybody to the same state, and the user doesn't have to see that again. But it does take work.
Yeah, the multi-device thing, I can see that being trickier and. My problem is not so much that, and actually that seems to be handled in general better. It's more the, you have a piece of information waiting for you in a specific sub-activity over the overall flow, and I go into that sub-activity and yet it's still there. I wouldn't expect the system to know that. They're not going to, your system UI stuff is not going to know that just because I launched the application that I actually went into the exact kind of information they were trying to get me to. So that really is up to the app. But you do kind of wonder, what's not getting through to them about my experience. And this wasn't the cross-device thing. Mm-hmm. This is more like you see the notification, and instead of tapping on it, I just happen to be on the home screen, and I went to the thing directly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like some of the apps just don't connect the dots well enough.
Well, and it's also even more complicated than that because, we introduced in the last release notification groups. Right, you can bundle a bunch of notifications together, which makes, we used to have inbox style notifications, which, we created to give you basically a little 6 or 7 line preview of your mailbox. But that's not really all that useful because you can't interact with each of those messages. So with notification groups, you can actually post all of those messages individually and act on them, separately. But if you click on one of them, you can't really withdraw the whole group necessarily because you've only read the one notification. Or similarly, if the group is collapsed and you just tap it without any particular target, the app certainly doesn't know which one you want to read. So it requires some thought. It requires some UX design.
I like the idea that with the little preview messages that didn't give you quite enough information, maybe we could have done something like, Jane sent you email and you won't believe what happened next. We should have little clickbait notifications instead, because that's really what you want.
That's how all my email starts anyway. Personal and work email. You won't believe what happened to Chet. Actually, I would.
Okay, yeah, notification groups. That totally didn't come up yet. That was kind of huge in O, wasn't it?
It was in O. Previous ones.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought we talked. Didn't we? We changed the way. Oh, we just changed the way that they're displayed. We used to group them together, but now we break them out so you can do more manipulation directly in the notification panel. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe it was more the UI of that.
We definitely did streamline and move around the UI a lot in O
because that's what your team does. That's my impression.
We do. We are constantly looking at, you know, ways to make things better, ways to adapt to the way that people's usage of their devices is changing over time, right? You know, notifications on the lock screen is a really good example of us adapting to the way people use their devices. Even the, you know, flashlight quick settings tile is something that the team decided, hey, you know what, this is something that we really need. And at first I said, well, that seems kind of silly. Why would you need that? But it turns out that millions and millions and millions of people, myself included, use that quick settings tile all the time.
I think it's important to shine a light on the new functionality. So, dots.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite thing? The fact that they just worked. The fact that it seemed like we had thought about the system before we got there. So instead of having to create all new infrastructure that all developers needed to opt into, mm-hmm. we simply use the notification mechanism to enable dots.
Yes, and I am also super happy that they, visual design-wise, they aren't too intrusive.
Yes,
yeah.
It does not make me worry.
They're relaxing, yeah. Them. And they're easy to get rid of because they are notifications. So if you use long press on the dot and swipe the notification away there or from the notification shade,
oh, wait.
It's not in your face
what? Really?
Anymore.
You can long press on the dot?
Check it out. Try it. Well, that's how you get to the, no, not the little tiny thing, but the launcher icon, right? The way that you get to...
the launcher icon, yeah.
Long press on the launcher icon.
Yeah.
You can see any notifications that are outstanding for that app. You can also see shortcuts that can be pulled out and extracted to your home screen.
Wait, notifications?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're all learning something today, boys and girls.
Okay, that's cool. It's such a tiny little...
Well, no, you anywhere on the icon.
Anywhere in the icon.
Anywhere in the icon. You don't have to just... our UX guidelines, 48 dp square is the smallest touch target that you can have without forcing people to put their fingers in pencil sharpeners to actually use it.
Cool. Okay, sorry, I interrupted.
I was very excited. I'm really, really glad that when we introduced this, because this is a familiar UI paradigm. Again, like people are accustomed to this, people like it. So there are certainly lots of Android OEMs that had added it themselves to their launchers and even third-party launchers. The 9 people that listen to this podcast, they all have a third-party launcher. They've done their own kind of dots or bubbles or pimples or whatever you want to call them. But in the way that we put it together, like, I'm really glad that we didn't introduce a new concept. We just put a new face on an existing concept to sort of reinforce, like, this is the Android way, is we have notifications.
Yep. And if you are a launcher, you implement a notification listener, which has been around for a while now.
Jelly Bean MR2.
Yep. And you have all of the information you need to show dots. And they're tied into notification channels. So some of your notifications are appropriate for a dot and some of them aren't.
Is that priorities? Or it's the channels that the user opts into or out of?
Yeah. Well, the developer sets up the initial parameters of the channel. Like once you create a channel, the user gets to change it however they want and you can't override them, but you can create an initial bid. So you said, this is a noisy thing. It should get a dot. Should pop up on screen and what have you, and the user can change it later. But if, for example, you're an app that has some notifications that really don't make sense as a dot, like a, you know, maps driving navigation is a really good example, right? It's not like news, it's not an alert, it's not something you need to deal with. It's an ongoing activity, which of course in O we draw in a different way. It's very pretty. That doesn't deserve a dot. I mean, it's irrelevant to have a dot, so launcher just doesn't put it into the channel. Of course, you as a user could go back and add that dot back in. You can see, you know what? I would like a dot.
I want a dot. I like the idea of having like many, many channels in an app and therefore many, many dots all over my icon. And then it really would be pimples. That'd be great. Just like acne. We'll just call it notification acne.
It's just the one dot.
Just the one. Okay, just a really big one. Yeah. It's just the embarrassing one that you have right when you go in for the job interview. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in a more subtle color. Right. What is that color taken from? Is there like a primary color of the app icon? Is this new information that the app developer provides?
I don't remember how that ended up, actually. We went back and forth. There's not a separate API for it.
So you extract the color from the icon?
I don't remember if we actually settled on that. We did a lot of experiments with color extraction.
I remember this changing
in
over
Oreo,
time.
In Oreo, you can see it in the music notifications. That's a really good example where we take... So MediaStyle is a notification template. that makes it really easy for you to connect a media session that you have going on with a notification. We pull out the album artwork from the media session, or no, I guess you need to put it in the notification. Anyway, regardless, we pull out that album artwork, we look for a color that would be nice, and we just make that whole notification, give it that background color. Right. We actually did that in the previous release too, but we've moved some of that UI pattern to other sort of priority ongoing things.
Wait, that's the overall notification, but that's not the dot.
No.
The dot is actually...
Dot is color extracted.
The dot could be a little tiny vinyl album.
It could be. That's possible. It's so tough. We're all like, you know, shuffling our phones around here because we've got various like half-baked builds of things. Like, what is this? Is this from our, you know, in the right? No, I'm out of space.
So is there any developer surface for dots, or it is just
the channel?
It's completely opaque to them.
You mean develop it like as an app posting the notification, or as a launcher?
Yeah, not the launcher. The launcher, I understand. They need to get the notifications or understand them.
There are various APIs you could use if third-party launchers wanted to use that information. Mm-hmm. You can say you can specify the badge icon for a notification. You can choose the large or small icon.
That's right. We don't actually use that.
In
our launcher.
Right. It's available. You can specify a number. Like, if you're posting a summary that actually represents a whole bunch of information, like, it would be weird for a user to long press and say, oh, there's only one notification, but wait, this is about 6 emails. So you could say, oh, this represents 6 things.
Wait, that information is going to show up after the long press?
It's APIs that we have.
Yeah.
Yes. We're not... In the interest of creating a simple... streamlined UI in our flagship launcher experience, we just show you the dot. But there's a bunch of other stuff in there that you can specify as an app that launchers could pick up on.
So this is information
shown on the number press. Shown? Yes.
Oh, it's just not shown in the dot. Right.
No.
You're right. Okay.
Long press.
See, this is why they don't. This is Julie's in charge.
This is information that is used by the notification system in general, or it is specific to the information for dots?
Those two at this point are basically about dots.
Okay.
They're not shown in any other surfaces. And there was one more that I have totally blanked on now.
I blame myself.
We'll do it post. It'll be in my voice, but it'll...
Okay.
I do a pretty good impression of you. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
Yeah. It's just kind of my thing.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Is that your thing? It's a weird thing to have.
Well, it's one of my things.
Okay.
But, yeah. Okay. I think we're reaching the end of our time. Is there anything else incredibly wise you wanted to drop on us at the last minute here?
Not when you put it that way. Jeez.
How about trivial? Motivating, inspirational, visionary.
You're just throwing out adjectives now. Is this Mad Libs?
You have seen through my trick.
Yeah.
And I got nothing else.
All right. Thanks. Really excited to see what kind of notification channels different apps use.
Me too. It's really cool when a feature like this just launches, because you see different apps adopted in different ways, and then over time they'll probably gravitate toward things that work. Because I've seen the spectrum where somebody has 4, somebody else has 30. You know, there's the right answer is probably somewhere between those two.
Right.
That's really the interesting thing about working on a platform too. We can't adapt to the latest trends every, couple of weeks. So we have to think really long term. What APIs do we think we can put in? What functionality do we think we can build that is going to be useful to people for years? But, it's a guess. And developers find new and exciting ways to repurpose that technology to other means.
Yay. Yay, developers.
Yeah, exactly. Yay, us.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Julia.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, Chet. Thanks for not being here, Tor.